title of our lesson today is Repentance and Faith. And our devotional and background study comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
Exactly. Our lesson today is entitled Repentance and Faith. I'm going to have to put somebody in the corner here in a minute. Repentance and Faith. This is based on, we're studying really out of the Articles of Faith again, and this is based on Article 8 out of the Pendleton's Manual, Church Manual. And Article 8 states, we believe that repentance and faith are sacred duties and also inseparable graces wrought in our souls by the regenerating Spirit of God, whereby being deeply convinced of our guilt, danger, and helplessness, and of the way of salvation by Christ, we turn to God with unfeigned contrition. That's genuine, that's real. Contrition, confession, and supplication for mercy, at the same time heartily receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our prophet, priest, and king, and relying on him alone as the only and all-sufficient Savior. So our reading lesson then is taken from the second chapter of Acts, beginning with the 36th verse. And it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, this is the people, the Jews that he was talking to. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, this was after Jesus had gone back to heaven. And on this day, Peter had preached to a great multitude of people and explained to them this call to salvation that our Lord and Savior had given to them. And he first tells them what they have done, and this concerns them because that Jesus had been put to death, and they had put to death the true Son of God. Now, not everybody understood that, I don't think, but it concerned them, and they were pricked in their hearts. And that's what the gospel does. It can cut to the very core of someone who's lost. I mean, it did me when I was just a small boy. You don't know this. I was 7 years old, and I heard that gospel, not for the first time, but after several years. I was just 7 years old, and I heard the gospel, and it cut me that day that I heard it. I mean, it did. It got a hold of me. It physically changed me. The gospel did. And then it spiritually changed me. And today, that's what I don't think people really understand, is the spiritual aspect of what this change brings about. Or even the spiritual aspect from the point that's how you go get it, is through the Spirit. That God is a Spirit, and we worship Him in Spirit. Now, of course, this is the part of the Scriptures that talks about baptism. Now, and I'm going to speak to that just a little bit, because there is a whole world of people that base their life on the 38th verse, base their entire being on the 38th verse, and all their hope in God is based on what is said or what is written here in the 38th verse. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin." Now, I'm not going to be able to explain this maybe to your satisfaction because I am not an expert in the translation of the original Greek and other languages. But I know for a fact that Peter was not telling them that baptism was going to save their soul. But there are people today that will hang everything on this 38th verse and forget everything else that the Scriptures say. And nowhere else does Peter ever say anything like anywhere else that Peter talks, he speaks of repentance. Now, in first chapter of Mark, in the 15th verse, Jesus himself said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, that's just what we read here in the 8th article. We believe that repentance and faith are sacred duties. That's repentance and believing. And believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's what Peter had just told them. Peter had said over here in his sermon that you've put him to death. And so that's who we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus. And if you don't believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God, I don't believe there's a chance that you can be saved. I mean, that's just what the Scripture says. Jesus himself said he was the door. And so now we come to the fact here that Peter says, or is quoted here saying that, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Now, people have said throughout that this word for, means in the Greek translation, in order to get. Well, for can mean a bunch of different things. And I'm giving you this very like a kindergarten kid, because I just can't get into so deep into this, because like I said, I don't know Greek, but I do know one thing. I do know that there's more definitions before than what they've hung their hat on to say that it means in order to get. Because if you go back over to Luke, 5th chapter of Luke, and let me see where I'm going to start. I'll just start at the 12th verse. This is concerning Jesus and a leper. And he says, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Now, here's that word for again. An offer for thy cleansing. So, for here doesn't mean in order to get, because he's already got it. Jesus already gave it to him. So he's not going to the priest in order to get cleansing. He's going to the priest because of his cleansing. So here we have four meaning something completely different. So people then read this other thing, this other four, as being in order to get, when we've already found without, and I'm not that smart, so I found this pretty easy, so it's not too hard to find, that there's another use of the word for. So I want you to know that baptism will not save your soul. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I understand. But you know, we need to understand what we're talking about, so that when we go out and talk to other people, that we can explain to them why baptism won't save your soul. Now, I'll give you an example. A friend of mine who belongs to another faith, believes that you can be saved by baptism. Well, in talking to him and trying to explain that there's something more deeply involved than just baptism, because listen, and I think Terry read this in Ephesians. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Paul said in the second chapter and 8th verse, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. So we find that salvation It is a gift. It's something that God gives you. You don't have to work for it. Paul said, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you don't have to work for it. This is a gift that God gives you. Well, in talking to this friend of mine, he finally said, well, we understand that there's something else involved in order to get our salvation. But he said it's tied in with baptism. Now, what he was talking to and referring to is a change must come over you first. Now, the change that he was talking about is where you make a conscious decision that you're going to become a new person. You're going to change your ways. You're going to walk in a different light. You're going to say, I'm going to work for Jesus from here on out, and I've changed, and I want to be baptized. It's all rolled into a lump there that you've got to change, and then you've got to be baptized. Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I did the lesson about the Samaritan woman at the well, who Jesus asked for water. And you remember, well, he offered her this water. Now, if you remember in my lesson, I told you that we're talking about two different types of water here. One type of water is a physical water that you drink, that you can see, and you touch it and you're wet. That's a physical water. He was talking about a spiritual water. She didn't understand it. She didn't know what that meant. She said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? See, she hadn't made the jump from the physical aspect to the spiritual aspect. And that's the same way that this friend of mine is. He has never made the jump from the physical to the spiritual. So he don't understand true repentance. Not at all. And that's a shame, because I would say the vast majority of the world does not understand spirituality of God. Now, don't think I'm standing here and say that I understand everything about it, because I truly don't. There's a lot of things I just do not understand. But I know one thing. I know one thing, that from the spiritual aspect, God saved my soul. He made a new person out of me. He changed not just my thought. I mean, he changed my whole being. He cut into that stony heart and he replaced it anew with something that I can't even explain. I can't explain it to other people. What happened in that flash of a wink of an eye or whatever it was? I just can't explain it to somebody. I mean, there was a moment in time, and I don't know how long that moment is, but there was a moment in time where something happened. And I don't understand it. But it was something that has changed my life. It gave me a spiritual knowledge of God. Because why? Because I promise you, and here again, I can't explain it, but I met him that day. I met him almost like I'm sitting here looking at you people. Now, I didn't visually see him standing. Paul did. Paul saw him, and I'd like to say that I saw him. I didn't physically see him, but oh, yeah, I saw him. and I'll never. And that's been 60 years ago. 60 years ago next month, as a matter of fact. When I spiritually saw him. And I got that with me today. And no amount of water did that to me. No amount. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross that I believed on. And in our lesson today, in Article 8 of our Articles of Faith, said we believe that repentance and faith are sacred duties. And also inseparable graces. You can't have one without the other. You've got to repent and you've got to believe. You can't take those apart. You can't repent without believing. And you can't be saved without believing. And repentance, it's just, they're just one and the same. Inseparable graces wrought in our soul by the regenerated Spirit of God. And so, to get back to our reading lesson, I don't believe that Peter was ever speaking about regeneration and baptism. And I don't know why it was placed like this. I don't have a clue. I don't know if it was a totally inappropriate inclusion into these scriptures, or we're supposed to sit here and figure out that four can mean several other things other than what people place upon it. But I do know that Jesus said, repent. Never mentioned a thing about being baptized. I do know in the third chapter of Acts, Peter said, repent. Never said a thing about baptism. I know that Paul, in the second chapter of Ephesians, says, repent. 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 You've got to repent before Jesus will ever hear you or save yourself. And that's what sets us apart from the world, right here. This Article 8. We believe that repentance and faith are sacred duties. That right there sets us apart from just about the whole world. Because Satan has got a hold of people, and he would like for them to believe anything in this world except for repentance. He'd love for them to believe anything in the world. Matter of fact, it tickles him that probably the vast majority of Christians today believe it and water regeneration. There's nothing better for him to go on and to hang all of their beliefs on the 38th verse of the second chapter of Acts. But I'm telling you today that we don't believe in that water baptism will do anything other than get you wet. Now, we're commanded to be baptized, of course. That's what we're commanded to. We're commanded to be baptized, but it's for a whole different purpose here. So let's remember that when we go out into this world, we're going to meet people who believe different than we are. We can walk right out that door right there, and we could probably go 50 feet in either direction and find a world of people that believe something completely different than what we do. And we're going to walk out there, and we're going to find people who say that it takes baptism to save your soul. We're going to walk into people who say that baptizing infants is all they need, to baptize them into the church and be members of the church. They're out there today. They fill this world up, and they would have you to believe that they are Christians, that they are following after God's teaching. But I'm telling you what, the scripture says Satan himself can be disguised as an angel of light. And I'm paraphrasing this right now. But these people think that they're following God. And they don't understand, just like the Samaritan woman. She didn't understand what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the water that she wasn't at that point in time able to separate the spirit from the physical aspect of water. But listen, she got there. I really believe she got there. She got to that point where she understood it. And you know, I understand. I think we all understand it. But we've got to be prepared to tell the world about it. And so let's understand that there is a purpose for our studies of the Scripture. There is a reason for them. And that reason is that we can all be ambassadors for Christ out there. When it comes time for us to stand, time for us to explain our position, because we have to explain our position because most of the world don't understand it. And so we got to be ready and we got to be prepared. And this helps us. This helps us. Knowing what we believe helps us. And I know that there's people out there that have been saved. I personally know some people that have been saved and they never set foot back in the church. And I've never been real sure that they understand what even the Scriptures are talking about. But at that one point in time, they got themselves in a place to where God could save their soul. And I'm thankful for that, because if they don't ever do anything else, whatever they might do, that one time when they got in the place where God could save their soul, He saved them. But listen, we are part of the Lord's people. And that's what God has called us out to do. He has saved our souls because there is a work out here to do. He's called preachers out to carry the gospel to the lost and dying world. But He's given us a message too that we can take to people that we meet out in the world. And that is, you must repent. You must repent. If you ever want eternal life, you must repent. Now, that's a little harder than going up and shaking a preacher's hand or signing a card. I mean, it's kind of difficult to do. You know, people don't really want to hear that. They don't want to hear that you've got to repent. Jesus died on the cross for us. It shouldn't be that difficult for us to bow our knees and ask Him to save our soul. And after He saved our soul, to ask Him to give us strength to stand for Him and to be a worker in the vineyard. People might look at us and see that there's something that we have that they might want to have. So, listen. I know I've been preaching to the choir again, I say that. But we all need to reevaluate our own lives to see if we're upholding what God would have us to do. There's something that God wants you to do. Now, I don't know what it is. Only you and God knows what it is. But there's something that God wants you to do. And we're in a place where we can do for God and make a difference in somebody's lives. We are. We can make a difference in somebody's life if we'll follow what God would have us to do and teach people. If you know, Paul said, if nothing else to stand. If nothing else to stand. And I thought, well, if I don't have anything, if I can't argue against anything, I can give them a testimony. If nothing else, I can tell them what God did for me. And he said, what's up? I mean, you may not have any other words that you could, but you could stand and say, when I was such and such, God saved my soul. That's a powerful message right there that goes out to these people. Not that when I was such and such, I was baptized, but I was such and such, and God saved my soul. There's a big difference in those two directions. So, anyway, that's my lesson. Does anyone have anything to say or to add to it or to discuss?
I think the problem the world has with repentance and faith and believing in God, they do it in a form or fashion, but they do it in their mind. They do it carnally. Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, he said, if I told you earthly things, how should you believe heavenly things? When those different individuals, I mean, I know what religion you're talking about, because I've been quite a few of them, when they go to turn their life over to God, and then they're baptized. In their form, in their mind, they're repenting. And they're basically thinking, well, I'm turning my mind around, and I'm turning my life over to God. I went through the motions of those things. They're leaving out the key ingredient of what it takes to be saved, and that's God, His Holy Spirit dealing with our heart. And the Bible tells us, John 6:44, that the Father has to draw me. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be saved today. And I could repent all I wanted to, believe all I wanted to, but until God came on the scene and He helped me to do that, that's why they're graces. I don't like calling them duties, really, but they are important. They have to be happening in order for a person to be saved. That's why I like calling them repentance and faith graces, is because God's grace allows us to be able to have the opportunity to believe and repent. If it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't have been broken enough and crushed enough in order to be able to be saved. It took the Holy Spirit, like you began to start out there, to prick me in my heart, to pull me to the place where I could repent and believe the gospel. And I don't doubt, when the Bible says that there was only 3,000 added to the church, I don't doubt that they were truly saved by God's grace, that it wasn't just baptism that saved them, it was the Holy Spirit that convicted them in their heart. And the Bible teaches in Acts that they were pricked in their heart, they were broken hearted, they were crushed, and they were truly repenting of their sins and trusting in God for the salvation of their souls. So when you talk to someone, when I've talked to people, they still just say, well, you know, you can't base it off of that. You know, I don't believe that you can feel those things, because they're almost afraid of what they feel in their heart, because they know that the Lord's convicting them that this is wrong, that it's not right. I know we don't need to be necessarily proud, but I'm proud of my Jesus, that He made it right in my heart. I'm not proud of me, but I'm proud of what He has done, to where we have the true salvation. We need to be confident in that. I think too many times we mistake being humble, and we just think that we do need to be humble. Most important, we don't need to be proud about anything of our own self, but we need to be confident in the Lord that what we have is the truth. Right. And that repentance and faith toward God through the Holy Spirit will still convict and will still save lost sinners if they'll totally surrender. And another thing, we talk about repentance and faith. A lot of these lost people don't know what repentance is. They don't understand what is that word repentance. That's almost an ancient term to them, because you don't hear anybody preach about that for sure. At least not you do in our churches, but not in other places. So we have to, I really appreciate the lesson. We have to be prepared ourselves to give an answer to anyone who would ask and hope that life in us at any time, place, and time.
Well, you know, on that same note, we ought to be grinning from ear to ear every day for what Jesus done for us. We ought to be the happiest people around. And when people walk out and see us on the street, they ought to say, why is that person so happy? Now, when I was saved, I was that happy. I mean, I was changed. But you know, you kind of let that kind of wane just a little bit as time goes by. But we ought to be renewed every day when we get up and thank God for our salvation. And we ought to go out here grinning from ear to ear. And people could look at us and say, He's got something. He's got something. Anyone else? Billy, would you dismiss us?